In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ is risen. Christos voskrese. Christos aneste. Today, brothers and sisters, on a day in which we've had a baptism, we've baptized the Lyria before the Divine Liturgy, we have a reading which is about baptism. It's also about the healing of a paralytic. But it really, if you read it carefully, describes what baptism does, who does it, and what we are to do after it. Now there was this pool, the sheep's pool, was used for washing the sheep before they were sacrificed. And a lot of people would sit around it year-round because at an unknown time, an angel would come and the water would get turbulent. And when that happened, the first person in the water was healed. Now, this is what baptism does, it heals. But in this case, only one person was healed. Baptism heals all of us. Whereas it was only available to one person at a time, now the grace of God is shown forth abundantly upon us, and all of us can participate in this very same grace, the same grace that the saints partook of, the same grace that the apostles had. It is the same grace for us. Now, this man had been there a long time, 38 years. That was almost a lifetime in that time. That was a man who was in his old age, basically, who had been waiting to be able to walk. So Jesus sees him, and he says to him a question, an important question, something that we must answer every day. In fact, really, we have to answer it every moment. It's not a one-time question. Although in this gospel it occurs once. In our lifetime it occurs all the time. And that is the question, wilt thou be made whole? Do you want to be made whole? Do you want me to heal you? And the man answers in a strange way. Here he's been laying there waiting for healing. And instead of saying, yes, I want to be healed, he answers as a person who's depressed, as a person who's despondent, as a person who's been disappointed so many times that he can't really think that he'll ever get better. And he says, sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another gets in before me. Remember, only one could be healed. But who did he say this to? He said this to the man that could heal him. The only man that can heal him, the God-man Jesus Christ. Our Lord became man so that we would be healed. He showed us the way. He taught us the way. And He made us able to follow this way. And He used the vehicle of baptism to begin this process. Because when He was baptized in the Jordan, the nature of water was actually changed. So that water, when the Holy Spirit descends into it, can be healing. And as in the case of this gospel, it says, whoever descended into the water was healed of any disease he had. Baptism heals us of any disease we have. In this case, not diseases of the body, but the disease of the soul. And the only disease of the soul, it has many ancillary effects. But there's only one disease of the soul that needs to be healed, and that is sin. And baptism heals sin. So, the Lord says to him, rise, take up thy bed and walk. In this case, he wasn't descending into the water. He had the one who created the waters in front of him. So Jesus healed him only by a word. But he told him something very important, and that applies to baptism. Rise, that is, be healed, be made whole, take up your bed and walk. The taking up of the bed and the walking is obedience and work. So after baptism, we are enabled to do the commandments and to become pure in every way. And it is a command that after we are baptized, whether we are infants in the case of Valeria, or whether we come to the church as adults or as children or whatever time it is, that the baptism is with a command. Rise, take up your bed and walk. Obey the commandments. Obey the Lord Jesus Christ. Obey His example and follow Him. Take up your cross and walk. In the Gospel today, it was a bed. For us, it is our cross that we are to take up. And this cross is not a cross where only of suffering. It is of obedience. And if obedience includes suffering, then it will be blessed. But obedience, for the most part, involves struggling against our passions and attempting to listen to God. Now, you can't hear Him unless you're still. If you have everything, all kinds of stuff going on in your life, you can't hear Him. That's what the story of Elias in the cave teaches us. God was not present in the earthquake or the flood or the fire, but in the still small voice. And you cannot hear a still small voice unless you're still. And that stillness is wherein we do not have these passions that are always coming out of us. The anger and the jealousy and the laziness and the acquisitiveness and desiring money and power and all the rest. We have those things going on in our life, we can't hear God. Because He's whispering to us. He's not shouting. We can hear Him if we're still. Now, the man took up his bed on the Sabbath day. And the Jews said that this was against the law, and it was. It was against the law to do any work on the Sabbath. So you couldn't move your bed. You couldn't cook hot food. The only things you could do, as in another place in the Gospel, is obviously you would water your animals. Or if an animal fell in the ditch or a person was hurt, you'd take care of them. But other than that, you would do no work whatsoever. You wouldn't do any agricultural work or anything else. And so he was carrying his bed. But the Lord had told him to do this, because the Lord is the Lord of the Sabbath. But the Jews, perhaps some of them did not know this, know that the Lord had healed him, so they said he shouldn't carry his bed. But the Lord will tell us what we should do and how we should do it. Now, he meets the man then in the temple, which is a good thing. The man had gone to the temple to thank God for his healing. And he said something to him very important and very terrifying. He says, "Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon thee." So baptism makes us able to become holy. But if we do not become holy, we will be lost. You have to struggle for holiness. And if you do not struggle for holiness, then baptism will not save you. Knowing prayers will not save you. Fasting will not save you. What saves you is the grace of God being active in you. And the grace of God will not be active in a person who is complacent, a person who is sinning. As long as the grace of God is active in you, you will be saved. And this comes from struggle, from effort. Now perhaps some of you may think, but there's things that I do all the time and I can't seem to stop doing them. Don't fret about that. Instead, struggle against these things. Talk to me about them. Struggle about them. Perhaps you should fast better. Perhaps you should pray a little bit more. Perhaps you should attend church a little bit more regularly. Perhaps you should go to confession and have communion. Perhaps there's someone that you need to go to and say, "I forgive you." Or there's someone that you need to stop holding a grudge against. Or there's something that you need to have control over in your life that you can with effort. And then God will help you. Always, if you struggle, God will help you. Always. Because because we are nothing without God. And we are everything with Him. And this story of the healing of the paralytic teaches us about baptism. Baptism heals us completely. But that doesn't mean we can't get sick again. If you go to the doctor and you have some condition and he heals you of this condition, but then he says, you will get sick again unless you do these things. Eat a certain way or exercise or don't do something that you were doing before, like smoking or drinking. And if you go back to those habits, you'll get sick again. So with baptism, it is the same. We were baptized so that we could become perfected, so that we can struggle for perfection. As long as we struggle, even if we're weak, we will attain it. If we don't struggle, then it is a terrible thing. Because then we are someone who has tasted of grace and then denied it. So let's not be like that. All you need to do is this. Struggle for purity every day of your life. Struggle. Sometimes you do well, sometimes you do poorly. But desire these things. Desire heavenly things. And find ways to remind yourself of these things. Perhaps some of you have a dusty Bible at home. Well, make sure it doesn't have dust anymore, because it will be used every day. Perhaps some of you are not fasting regularly, or perhaps not at all. Begin to fast. Talk to me. If you don't fast at all, come to me and we'll talk about it. Trying to do it all at once would be probably too difficult for you, and you'd give it up. But do a little bit better today and a little bit better tomorrow, and eventually you will find great changes, and there'll be a peace in your heart because of your struggle. We cannot be saved without struggle. Baptism gives us the ability to become perfected, but it doesn't perfect us. We must struggle to have the grace of God active within us. And if this grace of God is active because of our effort, then the grace of baptism will save us. So may God help you. Most of you have been baptized. So the admonition that the Lord gives applies to all of us. The two great commandments that He gave in this reading. The first is, rise, take up your bed and walk. That is, be obedient to the gospel. Be obedient to what the Lord taught and work. And then the second admonition, the frightening one. Sin no more, lest the worst thing befall thee. That is, not in absolute terms, if you sin again, you'll be damned. But if you do not struggle against sin, definitely you will not find paradise. May God help us to follow these admonitions, these promises that we made at our baptism. God bless you.